From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
Good afternoon, I'm T. Riley. No, it wasn't an endless scrumptious buffet on one of the fun ships of Carnival Cruise Lines. That now dead Colombian stowaway found in the rudder of that cargo ship that docked in Vancouver ate nothing but soggy bread for 12 days. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, even in between. So did his two cohorts who were now recovering in a manual for malnutrition and dehydration. Yes, we'll fatten them up. After all, we are Americans. But then we'll turn them over to the INS for deportation. Police in Laughlin, Nevada, still on the alert for the possibility of more violence between biker gangs. Joelle Hearns of the Laughlin Chamber of Commerce says, hello, three people were killed over the weekend. She doesn't want to give us the impression that, well, Laughlin is some hotbed of hell. As you can hear, Laughlin is usually quiet. Lieutenant Terry Katz of the police department out there says the trouble was caused by 1% of that group. 99% are, well behaved. What to do about that 1% now, Terry?
So what you concentrate on is the 1% who call themselves, incidentally, 1%ers. You concentrate on them and try and prevent them from causing trouble for the other 99%.
So, if I want to join a biker gang, which one should I choose?
The Hells Angels are the largest gang, motorcycle gang in the world, and they are certainly the best known. The Mongols are not as well known and have had a series of conflicts with the Hells Angels out in California and in the western states.
Decisions, decisions. The Mongols or the Hells Angels. You decide. Partly sunny the rest of this afternoon. Highs near 65, clear tonight, lows about 40. And tomorrow, sunny again. Jim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom.
KOTK!
Of this song?
No.
All right. God. Why is it that I just see ice skaters in my head?
Far. We've been traveling far.
He's sort of the Trey Parker of his day.
Why are you talking over Neil?
Sorry.
Not without a star.
The star.
Free. Only one can be free. Hang on to a dream.
Yeah.
On the boat and on the plane, coming to America. Never looking back again.
Yeah.
Coming to America. Oh, gonna see so far away.
How long do I have to listen to this?
Why are you being so mean?
I'm not being mean.
You said I could play it, and then I played it for 10 seconds and I made it stop.
Seriously, you know what I'm seeing in my head is I'm in a darkened ice skating rink.
I'm seeing Neil Diamond at the front of a ship with his hand over his eyes, seeing the Statue of Liberty for the first time.
I'm seeing a bunch of women in tight-fitting skating leotards coming out, and they're holding flags, and their spotlights chasing them as they roll across the darkened ice.
Okay.
We should probably get underway. Five minutes and 48 seconds after the hour of 11 in the month of February in the year of our Lord 2007. Thank you for coming by, making it part of your listening day, live from the plushly appointed and overly ostentatious studios of AM 970. Solid State Radio, skating backwards, hand in hand. Exactly, Scotty. Well, everybody in the crowd kind of goes, ah. And it's a bunch of kids with glow sticks. It is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It is Friday. Welcome to Day 12. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Oh, see, everybody's thinking that Tim is dead. Everybody's thinking it's the beginning of a big... The Rick Emerson Show says goodbye. Tim Riley Memorial Day. It's 503-733-2970. I'm not going to answer that question quite yet. Maybe he's dead, maybe he's not.
Well, they deserve to know.
Of course, we should... There's no easy way to say this. We should just come out and say it. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. 503-733-2970. If you'd like to engage with us in a telephonic sense, in a super telepsychotronic sort of way. Or you can also email us. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. We take another bold step forward into technical magnificence today. This right here, hold on, you can... That's the phone. Now, the phone was working yesterday, but people couldn't actually hear us on hold, and we couldn't answer line two. So anybody who called us, we went immediately from line one to line three to line four to line, like, nine. Today, not only are all the lines working, but I believe that people can hear us on it, because here's a curious radio phenomenon. That when people call up and they go on to hold, if they can't hear the program being broadcast, they just assume that they've been hung up on. That's the thing, which I guess is a logical conclusion, because one minute your phone is ringing and the next minute there's a whole lot of nothing. So they just assume that you've cut them off. So the phone, you call up today, you will actually you will hear the program on hold, because I think as of right now, the studio is about 98.9% done. Really, all that remains is to turn this Vizo refrigerator on, and that's going to sit for a day so that we can gas ourselves with Freon. Other than that, I mean, which I guess we could do right now if we just did that. We could just put it in Scotty's room. Because Scotty now has his own room over here. We'll just move the fridge into there and fire it up and see what happens to him. He'll be our canary in the coal mine. A call screener in a coal mine, one might say. It is Friday. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email us. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Here's what's coming up today. CNN radio correspondent to the stars, Lisa Goddard, will be joining us from the Hill to talk about the same crap that she's been talking about like the last 4 days, because there's nothing going on up there. It's just this idiotic resolution where all the Democrats are going to kind of put their hands in their pants and kick the ground and look at the floor and hold their breath until they've turned blue and say, we don't like the war, but we're not going to do anything. And then they just wander off. That's it. That's all. And apparently there's something to do with greenhouse gases, but it doesn't really bother me. Ed McCarthy's going to talk about the big game, which is happening on Sunday. We're allowed to say Super Bowl, though, right? We can say Super Bowl here. It's just you can't say it in... is it just advertisements that can't say Super Bowl? Well, it doesn't matter. I'm saying it. Super Bowl. Because if you do, you know, the radio ads, you always hear the, come by and buy some Fritos for the big game on Sunday. Because I think it's like you can't say, well, you can't use the name of the teams either, right? There's a whole list. Have you ever noticed that when you listen to radio commercials? Okay, here's a thing that you've never noticed before. As Henry Rollins once said, I think about this so you don't have to, but now you will. If you listen to the radio commercials or TV commercials, or you see some print ads for things that are Super Bowl related products, they won't ever, half of them don't say the words Super and Bowl. In fact, I think even the KUFO promo...
They just say the big game?
They say the big game. That's what you are legally required to say, because Super Bowl is a trademarked term. And I'm pretty sure the names of the teams are trademarked as well. And
I have no idea who's playing.
I have no idea who's playing. I am not a real man.
It's just such a fun day where you can drink at 11 a.m.
I started the show with goddamn Neil Diamond. Do I really sound like the kind of guy? Does it really seem logical that I would come out of Neil Diamond by going, let's talk about the teams playing in the big game? I have nothing.
What are you saying, Rick Emerson?
Here's the thing. The thing is that I don't have to know about the Super Bowl or big game, because Ed McCarthy from CNN Radio is going to join us later on, and he does. Well, anyway, we'll talk about it later. Our good friends Court and Fatboy are going to join us in the studio later on today, as will Scott Daly from FilmViewRadio.com. I don't need to know about actual sports, but I do know about sports films. So we're going to talk about the sports movies with Scott Daly. We got some fantastic stories coming your way as well, including this one. Ow, 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 my skin. It's all sloughing away. Scotty J will be here with the suburban. suburban perspective, we have not one but two radio addresses from George W. Bush today. One that we played earlier in the week and one that is dated but which is funny, so I want to play it regardless. We got that. And Paris Hilton becomes even more hateable. So although there's some controversy about that. Yes, it is the Indianapolis Colts and the Chicago Bears. Here's how I know that the Chicago Bears are playing. Well, I'll get to that later. It's 503-733-2970 or rick@rickemerson.com. Oh, this is the first time this has happened in a long time. Wait, hold on. Let me find where the hell is my... I hope this isn't the one with the killing at the end.
A postman is a person in your neighborhood.
Sorry. Sorry about that. Mailman Chris joining us now on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir. Is the phone turned up? I'm sorry, that's us. That's our bad. Hello, sir.
Hello, Ralph.
Hi, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm not too bad. I couldn't get through last night because the lines were jammed. So I was going to try and get through and tell you that you missed four items last night.
So there's no way that I can get out of push-ups today?
No. Because you, I gave you a pass on Monday. I didn't listen to the show on Wednesday. Yeah. I was in and out of the doctor's. But you had two from Tuesday and four from yesterday. So you're at six.
Yeah, okay. So the best case scenario is I have to do three today.
That's correct.
All right, okay.
And worst case scenario is a lot. Because you did just tease 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, like 10 items.
No, I'm going to get to every one of those. Every one of those items is going to be gotten to today.
Excellent, and since I won't call in when they're there, will you please pass on my thank you to Court and Fatboy for the wonderful job they do on the George Bush Boy President.
George Bush Boy President, and also they're doing a wonderful job on something tonight that you're going to want to know about, so you'll be listening for that. I will pass it along, sir.
Excellent, thank you.
Thank you, there you go, Mailman Chris. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Dale Paxton. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. How are you today?
I am well.
You've got a certain spark in your eye today, Sarah.
Do I?
A certain rosy glow to your skin.
Well, I got a little fancy for Arto Izakis Day.
That's totally not the way I was going with that. I was going entirely a different way. It is Art Alexakis. We don't have the here is the money that I owe you sound or anything,
do we?
Oh,
man, we don't.
Hey, Scotty. Scotty can't hear us. I keep forgetting this. This is a funny... This seems like something we should be able to make a bit out of. That Scotty hears everything we say 40 seconds later. Because right now he doesn't have... Because we're on a 40-second delay because our program is filthy. And packed with profanity. And vile. And we work blue. So everything we say, Scotty hears 40 seconds later. I bet Scotty has that Everclear song. I bet we could have that soundbite within like 3 minutes.
Do you know that Scotty's having a big Super Bowl party and we weren't invited?
He's having a big game party.
A big game.
We weren't invited?
No.
Why weren't we invited to it?
I don't know.
We'll find out later. Well, in any event, Art Alexakis Day is today. I was going a different way with that, Sarah.
What way were you going, Richard?
I was saying you've got the rosy glow of, I won't say love, you've got the rosy glow of affection on you.
I've got the rosy glow of affection?
I'm just saying you
were. What does that mean?
I'm just saying it seems like your date ended up going very well the other night.
Where is this coming from? What are you doing? You're fishing.
I'm not. I'm just saying I know that, I mean.
That's fun. I went.
Big plans this weekend?
I went dancing last night. It was fun.
With Raul?
No. Well,
He was there.
Yeah, he was there.
Not with him, but he was there.
No.
Spending a lot of time with Raul.
I am not.
Do I have to meet Raul at some point?
No.
Am I going to have to meet this young gentleman and make sure that his intentions are pure? He does seem to be spending a lot of time with you. I want to make sure that he passes muster. We can't have any more unpleasantness.
You're trouble.
I'm not trouble. I'm trying to...
Why do you bring something like that up?
Because I'm
so early in the show.
Did I say anything negative? I'm saying you look happy. I'm saying, does Sarah Dillon not deserve happiness? You know what it is? You don't think you deserve to be happy, Sarah Dillon. I don't think it's me that's erotic.
I
think it's you.
We've discussed that I'm crazy.
I realize it right now.
I'm destined for a life alone. I've told you this.
I think you are giving yourself negative affirmations. I think that you do not believe you are worthy of being loved, Sarah. And so I'm just saying it's good to see you in a good mood, and I'm glad to see you happy. Now, I'm not saying you've been grumpy lately, but I'm seeing...
I'm honestly glad to see you in a good mood, too. I feel like we're both kind of on a good wavelength.
There's been a bit of a cloud over the show the last couple of days. I'm not saying it's Scotty J's fault. I'm simply saying... But I'm saying...
You need to be nicer to Scotty J, especially this week when he stepped up after Tim died.
He did. I'm saying that it's been... That's fantastic. Thank you so much.
K-O-T-K.
Anyway. I'm just saying that there's been a bit of a cloud over the show this week, and you know what? I'm feeling better today. I really am. Today, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling fine. You look happy. We're all happy. Ladies and gentlemen, let's all be happy together, working on the following stories for your edification today at the Ministry of Truth, Tim Riley.
Yay!
Hello!
Rumors of my demise are premature. Fantastic. Oh, good God. You sound so much better today.
I feel much better.
I thought you should not have come in the other day.
I shouldn't have. No. And I appreciate the fact that you came in on whatever it was, Tuesday? Wednesday?
Whatever day it was, this whole week is a blur of coughing, choking, and gagging.
You just really... And you came in, and how... What Sarah and I were talking about is how effed up is that we're all just like, I shouldn't come into work. I mean, if you just worked at the Maytag shop, mm-hmm. and either you had black lung or something, are you going to go to work? No, just F that. I'm staying home. But all of us feel compelled to, like, I've got to make it into work, you know, which is great, I suppose. But on the other hand, it's really just not right. So God bless you for coming in the other day. But that really was, like, the worst thing you could have done.
You're right. It was the wrongest thing I've done in quite some time.
But we appreciate the effort. But now you are back. You don't sound 100%, but you sound good. You sound
I would say 98.9%.
And you know what? By Monday, you're going to be back in lockstep, my friend.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. And you're looking, and by the way, I would like to take this opportunity
to
say,
he's going to be wild and crazy this weekend. It's his birthday weekend.
I was just going to say, the fact that you were not here for your birthday does not mean that we're not going to mention your birthday.
I was deadly ill on my birthday.
There you go. So, happy.
So awful.
So, from all of us to you, Tim, happy 37th birthday to you, Tim Riley.
Thank you very much. I don't feel like it.
By the way, the official greeting of today's Rick Emerson program is happy birthday, Tim. So, all callers to the Rick Emerson show today are obliged to wish Tim a happy 37th birthday upon joining the program. No, thank you. What are we working on today, Tim?
Well, two Gresham men are charged with stealing gold fillings from a corpse.
Fantastic.
Construction workers find another corpse wrapped in duct tape in a freezer while working on a Medford home. And the judge has put an end to bunny adoptions for now. And a woman becomes a quadruple amputee after giving birth.
Okay. Well, there you go. Uh-huh. So we're back. See, there you go. You can almost just feel the groove returning to the program. You can almost smell the groove returning.
I'm too young to die.
Tim can't be killed. It's 503-733-2970. I'm not trying to make you uncomfortable. I'm just saying that you do... You know what it is? You just seem happy.
No, you seem
like you're in a good mood.
Oh, I went out and had a fun night. Yeah, it was fun. I went over to my friend's house, and then we had a dance party for some unknown reason.
But it was also
against me and no effects, and like just it was really random.
Was this Kiki?
No, it's my friend Clara Stubbs.
Ah, okay. All right.
Yeah. Kiki went home early.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
Anyway, hello, Todd. You're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Hello.
Happy birthday, Mr. Riley.
Thank you very much. And the same to you.
You're a couple months off, but thank you.
Anyway. Hi there. How can I help you?
Rick, I wanted to help with the positive affirmations that obviously you and Sarah need over the last couple of days.
Yes.
I'm getting over surgery, so I've had a chance to actually listen fore to aft on all the programming.
Was your surgery also fore to aft?
It kind of feels like it, but we won't go there at this point. But, you had a bit of a meltdown the other day, and I wanted to say, you know what, I think I can speak for all the unwashed masses in that we would prefer to listen to a show that is riddled with technical difficulties as opposed to the dead air that would be KKFN. So keep up the good work.
All right. Thank you, Todd.
All right,
there you go. That's Todd. There you go. Referring to our friends at Kiss and Radio, which is no more, which has gone away. All right, see, just like old times, Tim is gone. And look over there, gone. And like that, he's gone.
I'm so glad he's back today.
Makes me happy. It really does. It really just fills me with
you
a warm glow.
You know what happened, Rick Emerson? Is that you had too many changes in your life in such a small period of time.
That's
exactly what started your breakdown.
It's totally what it was. No, and I was talking to Laura about this, and I said, you know, any one of these things, I probably could have weathered. And I know this makes me sound like the most mentally fragile person on earth. Whatever. I guess that's just me. It's like, because we had the moving from one studio to another, we had the phone system was down, we had a lot of technical glitches, I had different processing on my voice, then Tim was gone, and it was just like, what? And if I had one of those, maybe two of those I could have dealt with, but all like nine of those changes happening at once, and then sustained for like 5 days in a row, I really did start to feel like Job. I was just waiting for boils and locusts, as they said it, and destroy my village. By the way, Scotty wants to know that he feels you're going too fast with the new man, Sarah, so you can...
Oh, my God.
Take that under advisement. So, all right, it's 503-733-2970.
2970.
You should have seen the look on his face today when he texted me, like, did you have fun last night? What would you do? Where'd you go? I told him I went out, like, dancing and karaokeing, and he almost cried.
Does Scotty, let me ask you this. Do you feel, does Scotty pump you for more prurient details about your own life or the lives of your hot friends?
A little bit of both.
Yeah, all right.
I just kind of feel bad for him. I still feel like he got all of his living done.
There was long. Well, because he got married when he was like 9, yeah. Right? Well, see, and I buzz him into the studio right now, but he can't really hear us. So we'll bring him in later, because apparently there's some Super Bowl party that Scotty Jay is putting together. We have not been invited to. Not that I would go.
I think we embarrassed him. I know. I wouldn't go either.
Well, I wouldn't go either, but I want him to invite me so I can say no. That's the thing. I want Scotty to say, Rick, I have this little party. If you'd like to come, I'm going to show them out just so I can say, no. No, Scotty. In manner of Dirk Diggler. We'll find out about that. But just as a side note, to finish my thought earlier, if you listen to, and this is a thing that memos go out about this every year to radio stations, if you listen to a lot of radio advertising, they will not use the words Super Bowl in their advertising. They won't say, come on down for a big Super Bowl sale, Super Bowl spectacular, because it's a trademark term and you have to have the permission of the National Football League to say it. Just like I don't think they'll say Chicago Cubs or Chicago Bears. Hello.
Oh, like you know.
Welcome to my male-skewing format. The Chicago Bears, because you have to pay the rights, and so they'll use the name of the city, or they'll say, again, the accepted term is the big game, which is one of those things that just draws so much attention to yourself. Radio commercials that say the big game are like when you're watching Glengarry Glenn Ross edited for television, and the guy just says, like, mother trucker a lot or something. Or the guy says, why, you stupid dang jerk! You know, and it's clearly voiceover work that's being done by some guy from Bangladesh. That's exactly what that's like. The other thing is, here's the other way I know that the Chicago Bears are playing, because I got an email, which I think everybody at the CBS Radio Cluster got. I got a email. You won't remember this, Sarah. You're too young. But there was a song that came out, a rap song that came out. God, when was that? Do you remember the Super Bowl Shuffle, Tim? The song, the Super Bowl Shuffle by the Chicago Bears?
No,
it would have been like 80.
I remember the Curly Shuffle.
The Curly Shuffle. It would have been like 85 or 86. When was the? Was that when it was? It was when what's his name, Jim McMahon, was with the Bears, and William the Refrigerator Perry. I don't remember. Somebody will call me and tell me. But there was when the Bears were going to the Super Bowl, and the Bears, and it was at that one glorious / terrible golden window in the history of rap when all white men were able to go into a studio and record a rap. It's like that same time that Mel Brooks was doing rap records, and like everybody on Earth was recording their own rap song. It was like around the time that Tigra and Bunny Cars That Go Boom song came out, and the Chicago Bears football team went in and recorded this rap song called the Super Bowl Shuffle. And it's terrible. It's the worst thing you've ever heard. It's a bunch of linebackers rapping about how they're going to the Super Bowl. It's awful. It's right up there with that WWF wrestling album that came out. Anyway, we got this big memo that went out to everybody at CBS Radio about a week ago saying, do not play the Super Bowl Shuffle, because apparently the guy who owns the rights to that record, like, is all being an a-hole about it and doesn't want to let anybody play it, and CBS didn't want to have to get tagged with royalties for it. So we have all... I mean, if you think that there are weird and ridiculous memos that go out where you work, I mean, the fact that there's actually a lawyer somewhere who was paid like $400 an hour to draft a memo telling me that I can't play a song that has William the Refrigerator Perry rapping on it. Anyway, so there you go. So there's that. So that's how I know that's who's playing in the Super Bowl, the big game, rather, this weekend, for which Scotty is having a party that we are not invited to, although we did overhear him discussing chicken wings with Mrs. J earlier. Colin, hello, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, two things. First, happy birthday, Tim Riley, major news guy on campus.
Thank you very much.
Hey, although I thought several years ago, I've been listening for a while, that you were in your 40s. Come on, what's this?
No, yeah, you must have misheard.
No, that's the wrong person.
Just today, turning 37.
Yeah.
Oh, whatever. Anyway, what did I miss the meeting? Is Sarah back on the market? What's going on?
No, she was on the market for like a day. For like an hour. Now she's off the market once again.
I put my hat in the hat. Throw my name in the hat. Whatever.
I'm trying to stock block. I'm trying to step in between you and the creepy listeners. All right.
I sound like a robot.
All right, there you go. I got a little. The phones are working and they can hear me. It's overdriven a little bit. We'll get that attended to. Stock block. I just created that term, by the way.
That was pretty good.
That's what I'm trying to do right there. When he's like, Sarah's on the market. I'm like, no, sir. No. Because he missed his window. All right, well, there you go. Oh, and today is Art Alexakis Day, by the way, which is why Sarah's all gussied up. Because Art Alexakis will be just feet from here.
I haven't showered again.
I don't think that matters at this point. By the way, Tim, you will be proud to know that that chair, the Tim Riley chair, does apparently have transformative powers, because Scotty was sitting there yesterday, and as much as we poke fun, we should say that Scotty did an admirable job. He is no Tim, but no one is. But he did an admirable job. He came in, and he walked right into the propeller, you know, as you've got to do. He was brave.
He's a fine youngster.
He did get off one great line yesterday, though, that really was almost Tim-esque. It's when he said, hey, Art Alexakis is going to be in the studio tomorrow, or, you know, in the building tomorrow. And without missing a beat, Scotty just said, is it State Fair time already? Which all is right. Fantastic. No, that
Tim
Riley. For a brief golden moment, Tim, it's like you were back among us yesterday. So it's good times. Now, he'll be in the studio.
Why is he here?
But that's the thing is, as much as we laughed about Art Alexakis being next door today or because of the State Fair, no one really knows why he's here. I'm really unclear about that. I don't think anybody's actually divined it. He's just, as I said yesterday, it's like Intercom. He's just sort of around. You know? Anyway, so there you go.
And oh my gosh, brilliant idea. Bing, bing. I think Art Alexakis should be your next celebrity hug. I'm going to see if he'll come in and hug you.
I don't want to hug. I don't want to hug Art Alexakis. And I'm pretty sure he didn't want to hug me. The worst part about the Art Alexakis thing...
Maybe he's ready to forgive too, Rick.
See, but that's the thing, you bunch of bastards, is that he hates me now. And I never even did anything. I never did anything.
You laughed when Kyle would make fun of me.
Well, I laugh at a lot of things. I'm just saying it was Kyle who hasn't even worked on this show in like 2 years. Kyle was the one who started the whole feud with that guy. All I did, I just happened to be the guy with his name on the show, and then I got to just suddenly, I'm the one who's the victim of the grudge and the stalking and the so forth. So that's all I'm just saying. I don't want to be hugged by anybody today. All right. I did, by the way, as Zach Wilde, who was the guitarist for Ozzy's band for a long time and now is in Black Label Society. Zach Wilde was in the studio next door to us yesterday. He was being interviewed on KUFO. And so Zach Wilde, who's just a big bastard, by the way, he's just huge. He's like a huge lumberjack, redneck, mountaineer, Ted Kaczynski kind of looking guy. I mean, I'm a big Zach Wilde fan. I listened to him play all the way throughout the 80s and the early 90s with Ozzy Osbourne and all the big Ozzy hits of the last 20 years he played on. But he's just a big, creepy looking bastard. And it's, you know, him and just his whole band of stinking Hells Angels looking outlaws. And so we're walking back and forth in the hallway as Zach Wilde was being interviewed. And this ties into the fact that everybody has got this CBS death blues. Sarah had it. Kristen Bowie has it now. Tim had it. I walk by, and it wasn't Zach Wilde himself, but as I'm on my way to the bathroom yesterday, I hear, like, the bass player or whoever from the Black Label Society. Do you ever just walk through a conversation? Like, you don't hear what comes before it or after it. You just walk between two people in the hallway who are having a conversation, and you just hear one little snatch of conversation, just one little snippet of what they're talking about. I wrote this down. This is what I heard. The bass player from the Black Label Society was talking to some other guy yesterday in the hallway, and as I walked to the bathroom, he said, no, I've got my own, I wrote this down. I ran back here like an idiot and scribbled it down on my legal pad. He says, no, I got my own cold remedy. No, it's a shot of NyQuil, 2 Advil, some Theraflu, and 4 Actifeds. So there you go. In case you were wondering how the guy from Black Label Society cures his cold, 4 Actifeds, some Theraflu, 2 Advil, and a shot of NyQuil. All right. Well, let's get this, and then we'll take a break. Chris, hello, sir.
I think there's supposed to be a new Everclear album coming out, so he's probably showing that to get himself out of debt.
Uh-huh. I didn't say that. All right, is that true, or are you just making that up?
No, I believe I did hear that the other day on one of the competing stations that he's got a new one coming out. So.
There's no station that competes with this one, let's be honest.
One of the former ones of your former company there.
Oh, I see. All right, okay. So you believe there's a new Everclear. Maybe we'll get him to sign it for us.
Yes, I do believe there is. So.
All right, thank you, Chris.
All right.
That's Chris. All right, we should take a break here. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Come back. We'll talk to Kevin. We'll talk to Sri. What kind of a name is Sri? S-R-I. Sri. That's not a name. All right. Lisa Goddard coming up around the corner. It's good to have things back where they are. Tim in the chair. Scotty misspelling things. Fantastic. The Rick Emerson Show continues next. You don't go anywhere. Fantastic.
I did love the album, though.
I'm ready for my close-up. Hello, it's the Rick Emerson radio program. Just sitting there, Gloria Swanson style, on his couch. I was a huge star. Oh, wait, no, what did she say? Tim was still in the studio, you know. I'm still a big star. It's the pictures that got small. something like that. So, have you ever seen Sunset Boulevard?
No.
Oh, you got to see that. It's a classic. It's dark. It's so depressing. It's one of those... People don't... You think back to movies, and then I swear to God I won't get bogged down on this, but people think back to films, or films, as the British say, from the 40s and 50s, or whatever, and you just think of... You just think of a bunch of stuff like Mr. Smith Goes to Washington and, you know, Bedtime for Bonzo, and just stuff that's relentlessly upbeat and chipper. There's a lot of really dark crap that came out of the 40s. I mean crap, like it's bad. Just a lot of films that are really just dark and sort of have this weird, seamy underbelly to them. Like The Apartment with Jack Lemmon, which I just saw for the first time, I don't know, a few months back. You got to see Sunset Boulevard, though. That's a movie that'll make you want to drink whiskey and kill yourself. I mean, it's fantastic.
Why would I want to see that, then?
Because it's great. It's a fantastic film, but it just is just, it's just searing. I mean, it's just like someone has taken razor wire to your insides. So, it's a compliment. I mean, it really is, because you know I like my movies. But to me, the perfect Rick Emerson film is a film where... It spends the first 90 minutes going down, 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 dark, 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 dark. And then at the very end, darker still and everyone dies. That's it. That's the perfect Rick Emerson film. Speaking of which, we'll be talking to Court and Fatboy later on today about a little movie event that they are doing tonight. Scott Daly's going to be here from FilmFeverRadio.com.
And Fatboy wants to talk to Scotty J because I think he believes that Scotty might not like him.
That Scotty doesn't like Fat Boy?
We might have to have a confrontation today.
All right, fantastic. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen. From the Hill! CNN radio correspondent to the stars. Fashionably attired and with a head full of razor-sharp observations about everything from the fascinating to the everyday. Lisa Goddard, hello.
Hello.
Hi, how are you? How do I sound today?
You know, now it's the other end of the spectrum. Now it kind of sounds like you've got the microphone actually maybe in your throat.
you're saying, do I sound a little too hot?
Yeah, you sound pretty hot, as we say in the radio world.
In your opinion as a broadcaster, do I sound overdriven?
Overmodulated, I would
say. Overmodulated a little
you're
bit.
You're not
okay.
Overdriven.
All right, hold on a second. Just, hey, sir, can you do me a huge favor? Can you fetch Jeff McGinley for me?
Could I ever?
Just because this is because I think that Jeff would appreciate the perspective of an outsider. I think Jeff McGinley, who's the chief engineer here, is the guy who's keeping this radio station on the rails and keeping it rolling. This has been an ongoing process. Now, you, Lisa, you understand the microphone processing and adjustment. It's a delicate operation.
Indeed.
It's
exactly.
It's a thing that one must be very careful with. It's like
mosaic art, yes.
That's what I'm saying. It's almost a black art. It's almost one of those things it is almost like an alchemy, the correct modulation and adjusting of microphone processing. So what we're going to do for now is we're going to plunge on forward. Here's the thing about Democrats. There was this whole thing. Remember after 9/11, here's a phrase that you hear a lot. You hear a lot from Democrats and a lot from the people who don't care for George W. Bush and his policies, that he, quote, squandered all of this goodwill, all of this momentum that he had after 9/11, because 9/11 happened when, and he went and he stood on a pile of bricks or whatever and yelled at a bullhorn and gave a speech and then did a thing. And then, you know, and he had the whole world behind him for about a day and a half. And then suddenly he just wanted to spend that political capital as quickly as he could, as the saying goes. But instead of spending it on something like world peace or progress, it's like he spent it all on beer and Cheetos and then passed out in a basement somewhere and then had to come up with a solution for everything the next day and just blew it all. And I'm the first to admit that all of that happened. But here's the other thing. The Democrats are in the process now of doing exactly the same thing. The Democrats have got all of this momentum. They had, I don't know if it's a mandate, but certainly the American people sort of spoke up and said, like, knock it off. And, you know, the Democrats are taking control of Congress and all of this. And so now what they're doing is they're just sitting around spending all of this time and energy to come up with a resolution that I think effectively amounts to them just stamping their feet, looking at the ground, and stomping off with their Monopoly board and going home. And so my question is, I have no question. My question is, how accurate of an assessment is that, though, that all of this stuff that they're doing right now with this statement that they're going to draw up, the official statement, which basically says, well, we don't like it, but go ahead. I mean, is that going to have any effect on anything ever at any time?
I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, it is possible that this will be, this is just another stone in the pile against the Bush war plan. And, I mean, everyone's seeing will there ever be a point where that pile is high enough that the president does change his plans because of opinion? But he hasn't indicated that he's the type of president that's going to do that.
Well, shouldn't the Democrats of all people know that by now? That, I mean, George W. Bush could be, I'm trying to think of an analogy that works. But, I mean, the fact of the matter is he only has one gear. He's like a Yugo with a broken transmission. He can only go forward. He couldn't go backward if his life depended on it.
Well, you know, you've got to know. I think a lot of the real value in this ultimately is PR. And it was, it's some personal satisfaction for the Democrats to be able to stand there for a few days, and it looks like it'll be a couple of weeks when you include the House, and go, you were wrong, you are so wrong, you are really, really wrong. You know, but it doesn't, what is that, where does that get you? That is a very serious question. And I do think, though, would it be all right for Congress to do nothing? Would it be all right for Congress to not debate the president's Iraq policy? You know, because I think in the end there is not enough support for taking a really meaty step such as cutting off funding, because that would hurt troops in the field very likely. So then where does that get you? Where does that get you if you oppose the president's plan? Should Congress continue to do nothing as it has done for the past few years virtually? It's a tricky situation, but I think in the end the value here is going to be PR, or the Democrats hope it will be PR, and it will also be building a new coalition of Republicans and Democrats to oppose the president on this. And if things get worse, that coalition will be called upon to take real action, but that's months and months down the line.
I have two questions here. One, and these are related to each other. One is, where is Howard Dean right now? And I don't mean right now like at 11:42 a.m., but I mean literally, he's just sort of vanished, and the only reason I bring that up is because of point number two, which is, who is it that coordinates? This whole thing just offends me on like a PR level. Who is it that coordinates the efforts, or the PR efforts by the Democrats? Who is it that sits down and comes up on a dry erase board with a master plan for the Democrats to get attention and not look like spineless weasels? Because whoever is in charge of that is failing miserably.
There are a lot of master strategists in the Democratic Party. There's some here in Congress that press secretaries for the Senate Majority Leader, for Harry Reid, also on the House side. There are a lot of people, especially a lot of younger people, who really want to make a name for themselves and come up with ideas regularly, give them to their senators, give them to their bosses, and then it's sort of a collective group think, I think, at sometimes when it comes to an issue like this. But Iraq, really, don't think of this as something that the Democrats really sat down and said, this is exactly how we want it to go, we're going to plan it like this. I think the Iraq issue really carved out its own path. Things have gone so bad that I think Republicans who are up for re-election in this next cycle realize that they have to come out against it. You know, and I think not just for political reasons, but there are so many legitimate questions over Iraq that I think Congress is now stepping into its own, trying to at least show more oversight on the issue. So this really, Iraq came of its own, I think, and Iraq is probably what helped the Democrats more than the Democrats are having any sort of impact on Iraq.
All right. I got two things to say. One is the engineers are claiming that my microphone should sound better now. How do you feel?
It does sound better now.
It sounds bad. Do I sound overmodulated at this point?
No, you sound great.
Okay, they're giving me devil horns and high fives. Fantastic. All right, excellent. Thank you for weighing in there. Okay, there you go. And I'm just going to make this one final observation, and then I swear to God, I'm never going to mention this again. It's the last thing I'm ever going to say about this, because they're never going to get their act together. They're never going to be any better. They're never going to be any more effective, because they're Democrats. They're pointless. They lose, so no one else has to. That's the thing. That's just what they do, and I try to be zen with it.
They're a big tent. I mean, there's a lot of different types of Democrats, just like now we're seeing different types of Republicans that we haven't seen.
That's not even the point. To me, the point is that, again, there is this large Abby Hoffman streak in me that just understands how you get the attention of people, how you keep people's attention, and how you make a big, grand, eloquent statement, even if it's not going to do anything. Abby Hoffman made the greatest statement one time. He said that in 1935, while Hitler was giving a speech on stage, he said if someone had just gone up on stage and pulled down Adolf Hitler's pants, then nothing, you know, then World War II never would have happened, because you can't elect a guy whose pants have been taken down on stage. It's not going to happen. If somebody had squirted that guy with a seltzer bottle and hit him with a cream pie, bam, World War II averted, because you could never be able to take the guy seriously again. Big, grand gestures, even if they don't have a tangible effect, will eventually have an attitudinal effect. So here's what the Democrats need to do. What they need to do is, they all need to stand on the street, they need to stand in front of, on Pennsylvania Avenue, they stand in front of, on the steps of Congress, whatever, and they need to comment, even if they have to buy the time, even if they have to buy the time on television, they block out like 25 minutes right in the middle of prime time, and every Democratic congressperson, every Republican congressperson who opposes the Iraq war, they got to go off and they got to give their name, they got to give where they represent, and they have to say, I am opposed to the Iraq war. You know, George W. Bush doesn't want to do anything about it. And they just sign off one by one by one by one, and they do a roll call standing in the middle of the street on national television, listing off that they are opposed to this and that George W. Bush has to be stopped somehow. And that's it. That's it, man. And that's
it. You know, in their minds, that's what they're doing with this Iraq resolution, but... But in the and it, it, I don't know, it has to pan out how this works out. I mean, this could actually be a real vote on Iraq. We're not sure yet. But I definitely doesn't have the direct appeal, I think, or the direct. It's not as simple. It's not as obvious, I think, to people as what you're suggesting. It gets all complicated and mired in muck, just like everything here in Washington. Yeah. But that's, I think that's what they're intending to do.
I know how you market to the American people, and that what they're doing is not bad.
You know anything?
No, it's true. I mean, if I know anything, it's big, grand, shiny, ultimately empty gestures that are gimmicky and attract attention. That's what I'm all about. It's my only real skill. All right. I have nothing else. Are you going to watch the Super Bowl this weekend?
Oh, yeah. Heck yeah.
See,
I can't decide who to cheer for. I'm having a really hard time with it.
But at least you know who's playing. I didn't really know that until about half an hour ago. So,
who do you like?
I don't really know. The only thing I know is that the Chicago Bears, I was talking to somebody about this during the break, who is from Chicago, that the Chicago Bears in 1985 did that terrible Super Bowl shuffle rap song. That's it. Yeah, that's all I know. And that is the extent of my knowledge of the Chicago Bears. So, I don't know. It's just, I'm going to watch it the same way I do every year. I'm going to record it on the TiVo, and I'm going to watch it in about 24 minutes, just skipping through to watch all the commercial breaks.
Need to be hoping that the quarterback for the Bears, Rex Grossman, does something goofy this weekend in Miami. He probably won't, but it seems like that's something you would hope for. That's a side story you could watch.
Is he known to engage in goofy
behavior? No, he was a young man at the... When he played for Florida, he had a few bobbles here and there.
And when you say that, what does that mean?
You know, it's hard to say. He's known as the more likely of partier between him and Peyton Manning. But, you know, who knows? Does anybody really know Peyton Manning? No. But so people are, there's really not much going on. Not much, there's no Terrell Owens, anything like that.
No. And the listeners want to know, by the way, what is Lisa Goddard's preferred Super Bowl food?
Oh, well, you know, I'm a big pizza anytime. It's great with me.
All right. What kind of pizza do you do? You go thin crust or thick crust?
I like the thick, but thin is good as well.
All right. And your preferred two toppings? Go.
Ooh, I like the veggie, so I'm going to go with, like, spinach and pepperoni.
Well, all right. Well, that's...
I let you down on that. Maybe I do. I like the veggies. I can't lie.
That's between you and your God. I'll let you just ruminate on that. All right. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the Super Bowl. We will speak to you early on next week, I would imagine.
Fantastic.
Thank you for your help, adjusting.
Monday is the first Iraq vote, so we should be talking.
Yeah, so I won't be irritated at all by anything on that day.
Clearly.
All right, thank you for your help on the microphone modulation, by the way.
My pleasure.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen, Lisa Goddard on the Hill. Fantastic. There you go. Excellent. Do you hear that? In the space of 1 week, she mentions He-Man and G.I. Joe, and she gives us a pizza recommendation, and she knows about the Super Bowl. She knows more about the Super Bowl than I do. Can hear her toe.
That isn't much fun.
I'm not saying
nothing about her, but anyone who knows more about the Super Bowl than you do.
Rick, this email says, if you want a copy of Everclear's new album, take mine. Aw. I don't even know if I should read this. I bought it laughingly. I'm just going to skip the rest of this. I'm not doing this. Really, it seems like we've made the point. It seems like we're now, the horse is dead and decayed.
And you know what? Regardless of how much we make fun of our own sockets, it is pretty cool to see the lead singer of Everclear wandering around in the hallway.
Hey, you know what? He's a rock star and I'm not. You know, what is he, in the grand scheme of things, what does he care what anybody you hear says? You know what I mean? That guy's been on MTV and, I never was. So, I mean, whatever. What can I possibly say that's going to knock that guy? And especially because, see, you sons of bitches, you've done it again. You've dragged me into this and I don't even dislike him. Well, that's less well. I will say that I have
We have friends that he's wronged.
Well, that's true.
Very badly.
I was going to say that he's never done anything to me personally. Now, let me rephrase it. I'll put it that way. That Art Alexakis has never wronged me personally in any real sense. All right. We should probably just end this. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Oh, I have some calls that I should get, especially because the phone is working. Let's see here. Now, there's three?
Yeah.
What is your name? Spell it for me.
S-R-I, Sri.
Right.
You actually said it right the first time. That's pretty rare.
That's kind of a cool name. What's up?
I just wanted to say that, first of all, happy birthday, Tim. And second of all, you can't complain about Sky J not inviting you to his Super Bowl party.
Why not?
Because he told you about it on the air.
I don't remember that. When?
I believe it was on Monday, last Friday. But, he told you about it, and you and everybody were laughing about it, and you really didn't want to go. You should have told him then that you didn't want to go.
I know, Sarah, do you remember Scotty talking about his Super Bowl party?
I don't remember that at all. I have no recollection of that.
Well, that's why Sky put me on the air. He was like, well, I sure did.
Was he telling us about it, or was he inviting us?
Yeah, because telling us about it isn't inviting us.
Well, he knows you don't like football, so if he told you about it and you didn't ask to go, then that's good enough for him. Good enough for me.
Okay, as long as it's good enough for you. That's really what matters. You are the etiquette gatekeeper of the Rick Emerson program, Sheree. What kind of a name is that?
It's sort of Middle Eastern Indian.
I dig it. It's cool.
Sri Lanka?
Yeah, so, no, no.
It's from the same... Same language.
I dig that. It's a cool name. All right. Excellent. All right. Thank you, sir.
Yep.
Oh, there you go. That's your Sheree. All right.
Still a little hollowness there when we're talking to the listener. I don't know. I'm unclear about whether that's going over the air or not, though. Let's do one more and then we'll break. Kevin, hello.
Hey, happy birthday, Tim.
Thank you.
Rick, if you look in your email for an email with the phrase Purple Monkey Dishwasher in the title, you should find a couple copies of the birthday song you used to play.
No.
No. Really?
Yeah, I managed to isolate it out of one of your off-the-air podcasts from when you were
We're not going to hang up, sir, but I'm going to lower your level a little bit because the phone is sort of doing this weird feeding back thing. All right, so we for a long time in this program had this happy effing birthday song that we used to play all the time. And then in one of our many moves, read firings, we just managed to lose it somewhere. And it is the single most requested piece of audio in the history of this program. And we managed to lose it. And I could
never... We were just talking about it yesterday,
This morning we were just talking about it. And I was saying, I can't find it anywhere. Now, you are saying you found it here. Now, is this the edited version? This is taken from an off-the-air broadcast?
When you were fired last time, you started putting up all the best-ofs on your website.
Yeah.
And at some point, Jen Lane had a birthday, I think it was. And I just trimmed around it.
All right.
So it's still edited for air and all that.
Fantastic. God bless you, sir. In fact, you know what? Because Rick Emerson cares. Do you have a DVD player?
I sure do.
Are you interested in watching penguins have sex?
Who isn't?
Fantastic. All right. I'm going to put you on hold, my friend, and we're going to get you a copy of Farce of the Penguins, now on DVD, written and directed by Bob Saget, okay?
Sweet.
All right. Thank you, sir. There you go.
You know what? Scotty doesn't know to give him that because there's a 40-second delay.
No. Scotty will see. Scotty will hear this in 40 seconds. So, dude, stay on hold. Scotty will pick you up in like 35 seconds. Now on DVD, The Sex-Crazed World of Penguins Exposed in the Comedic Spoof that Crosses Every Line, Farce of the Penguins, written and directed by Bob Saget and narrated by Samuel L. Jackson. Now on DVD, rated R. All right. So we got a copy of that we will give to Kevin here. And you know what? Not that I don't trust Kevin, but we'll listen to the song during the break, and then if it's terrible, which it should be, then we'll play when we come back. Well, that's the best way to end this week. If that's the case, think about it. In the space of 1 week, we've gone from nothing working. I won't say nothing. A lot of many things giving us technical gas during the program to things being fixed, and the happy effing birthday song, the return of Tim Riley. You know what? This week's going to end on a high note after all. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. You stay there. We're back after this on AM 970. Solid State Radio.